Welcome to The Goodnight Show. I'm Shay Morrison, sleep expert and co-founder of The Goodnight Co. Join me each week for hints and tips on all things sleep. Welcome back to The Goodnight Show. In today's episode, I sat down with Kieran Maguire, the director and co-owner of Brisbane's Science of Fitness. We talk all about the science behind exercise, weight loss, and the importance of recovery. With an extensive background in science, exercise science, and practice focusing around musculoskeletal, neurological, psychological, and movement mechanic principles, Kieran had a bit to say about why a healthy sleep routine should be one of your secret weapons to maintaining consistency in the gym, especially as we head into summer and the silly season. Kieran, welcome to The Goodnight Show. We're so glad to have you on today as we get asked so many questions about the link between fitness and sleep. I'd love you to share with the audience a little bit about yourself and also the Science of Fitness, which is the business that you have co-founded.
Yeah, so quite a long story, I suppose, from my own end personally. Into this industry and sort of how I got there. So going way back to high school and, I suppose where I was the opposite end of the person, if you like, as I am now, and had no idea what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be, and finished school and mum and dad were actually living over in WA. So I finished school in Brisbane. And so I moved over there and I had every intention of coming back to Brisbane and, you know, jumping in, moving in with mates and, you know, partying and doing all the cool young things that you do. And then I realized, oh, wow, I need to get a job and pay rent and do all this hard stuff. And it's going to be a lot more difficult than I thought. So I ended up staying in Perth. And so, it was just one of those, have a gap year, have a bit of time, work out what you want to do before you jump into uni and everything else. And so it happened, Dad just said, you got to go do something, go do your certs, go do whatever it is. And I went and did my certs in fitness and absolutely loved it. And then it literally was from that moment that I went, oh, this is exactly it. And, I sort of didn't really look back. So I did that at, you know, 17, turning 18 and jumped into the industry and got a job and started working. And immediately I went, okay, I need to know more. I need to be better if I actually want to make this a career. So, jumped straight into uni, did my undergrad very quickly, did the 3 years in exercise and sports science. I did it at Edith Cowan Uni over in WA in Perth. And in that time I was qualified and I was training people and doing all sorts of sort of little jobs here and there, everything from a job at Fitness First to, helping a guy who had just started his own smaller brand. And he was doing things in parks and out of scout halls. So really getting and then pushing myself to sort of think out the box training wise rather than just being traditional and stuck in the gym and pushing on a machine. And that really helped a lot. So I got the experience at a big commercial Fitness First type environment and then started to build my skills outside of that in a park where you've got a couple of cones and some boxing gloves and you've got to train someone for an hour and make them enjoy it. So, that was sort of the early stages of my career. And then we developed that and built a group fitness program over there and went really well. I spent 5 years in Perth, finished my undergrad and started my master's over there and just loved every minute of it. It was such a great city. I was living the best lifestyle. I would work for 5 hours in the morning and then knock off at like 10 a.m. and go for a swim and have a coffee. And as a 21-year-old doing that sort of stuff, it was pretty cool.
Perfect.
Everyone else was at uni and working at Woolies or something. So I was living it up.
The dream.
Yeah. So I did that for 5 years and that really sort of lit me up and did my undergrad. Loved every minute of that. Mum and dad were still shocked that I'd done a degree in science, majoring in exercise. And yeah, just sort of went from there. And then as soon as I finished my undergrad, I sort of thought, okay, I need to go up to another level. Exercise physiology was on the cards. But I sort of turned towards the sport end thinking that'll be more me. So I did that, moved to my master's, which was a master's in exercise majoring in strength and conditioning. So essentially, majoring in high performance sport and getting the most out of bodies and athletes. And at that time, I sort of jumped in at the Western Force, the rugby club, when they still existed, and worked with them doing a sort of assistance interning role there, and did that for about 18 months while I finished my undergrad, did my master's, as well as a couple of other, you know, training jobs and everything else that I was doing. So that gave me a really good insight into that sporting world, and everything in between. But for me, it sort of always came back to, I just enjoyed teaching people how to move, how to feel better, how to get healthier, making them stronger, making them more confident in their body. And so, then from the science to fitness end, a couple of years in, to me being over in Perth, my brother came over, and he was still living in Brisbane at the time. And he came over and sort of saw what I was doing. He was actually sort of working in a gym and had a few friends that he was working with. And he said, all right, you know, I'm going to go back there and start the same sort of small outdoor little thing that you're doing. This is fun. We're very similar. Let's go do it. They jumped in with a mate, Joe, and they kicked off science and fitness at a park.
Right.
And they were doing stuff out in Ashgrove and a handful of suburbs and just training groups in a park and just smashing them. And it just sort of went strength to strength. And then they sort of got a little shed out the back of Newmarket Swimming Pool, and they used that for about 6 months to start to PT people in there. And then they went, okay, let's take a lease. And they jumped in and signed their first lease in Milton in about 5 years ago, I think. So okay. It was Valentine's Day that they signed the lease. That's our official birthday. So it goes down and treats all of our partners. And so they signed that lease in Milton, about 5 years ago. And that was it. We're up and running. And then he kept saying to me, come move over, move over, move over, move over. And eventually 2017, I went, all right, I'll come, I'll join you guys, and jumped in. And so, 2017, I've officially sort of joined the team, but I'd always kind of been engaged with what they were doing, even though I was living in Perth. I was sort of coming over every now and again, and just working with them and taking sessions and seeing what they're doing. And I think I was always eventually going to be involved. So 2017, I took the plunge and jumped in.
Great. And where did the name Science of Fitness come from?
I think it was just Joey and Rory, and they had another person they were working with in the business at the time, just sort of sitting there going, what do we want to do with this training, and do we want to just be another gym? What do we want to do? And that big sort of philosophy, which is sort of true for us since the beginning, is, you know, we want to provide something a little bit more than just training. We want to teach people the actual foundations of fitness right down to a scientific level, and be able to, you know, break through all the noise that is in the industry. And that's really where it came from.
And so now you've got two locations?
Yes. Fast forward to 2020, and we've got two spaces, Soft HQ in West End, which is the big sweaty scary big brother, and then we've got Soft Platinum, which is over in Woolloongabba. And that's a smaller, less intimidating, aircon, sexy little studio that
it looks more my speed.
Really, yeah. Well, that's our intention. It's to, you know, we've got this big, sweaty, scary place that's quite intimidating, and it struggled. You know, we struggled to get in front of people that really needed, the sense of training and the sort of reality that we can push to people. Yeah. So we opened the Platinum Studio to make ourselves a little bit more accommodating.
Okay. And when people come to, to sign up or to come to see you, what is it, you mentioned that you wanted a point of difference from a lot of the other offerings that are out there, but what is it that you actually see? So what are some of the real life results that you might see from some of your clients?
The biggest thing for us, we try and teach people, and we do sort of most people, because we say this, is that we're not going to quickly fix you. We want to teach you about your body, because you are responsible, not us, not your trainer, not your doctor. It's your body, and you've got to learn how to take care of it. So we encourage the slow burn. We encourage the lifestyle change. We really try and encourage people to take that ownership and give them the ability to do so by really trying to go with an education focus.
Yeah.
So people come to us and say, you know, I want to lose weight, I want to get stronger, blah, blah, blah. And we sort of go, all right, great. Let's take a step back. Are you in pain? How do you behave? What happens there? And then we can start to begin that process of, yep, you can get that result that you're after if we can do, you know, X, Y, and Z to your lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's about being able to be healthy and able to do the things you want to do for 20, 30, 40 years rather than getting a quick fix in 8 weeks.
Yeah. And is that, so then obviously that becomes a more personalized approach, not one size fits all, yeah. I imagine.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just it is, you know, it's taking that sort of subjective, okay, you're going to be a person that needs to go X, Y, and Z with the way you move, and you need to take 5 steps back before you can start moving forward again, versus other people are heading in the right direction, and we just sort of complement and facilitate that accordingly.
And so on that point, one of the things that we get asked a lot about at the Good Night Co is around weight loss. You know, it definitely seems to be such a big topic for a lot of people in today's society. A lot of the research, you know, that we have looked into really delves into that correlation where there is such a link between sleep and weight loss. And often society talks a lot about the two pillars of fitness and diet, but often forgets that key third pillar of sleep. So I'd love to know your interpretation or your insight into what it is that people can really be looking for if they are on their weight loss journey. Obviously, it's not just if you sleep more, you're going to lose weight. It's coupled in with this yeah. holistic approach. But I'd love if you could share some insights around, you know, your thoughts on this.
Weight loss is such a funny one, and it is what is sold to everybody as that's an effective program and that's an effective result and you need to be better. You know, so we actually slap people in the face with it and say, we actually don't care about your weight.
Yeah.
Generally, most of the time, most people that come in, we say, disregard that. Let's forget about that. Let's look at, as you said, the other pillars. And what are the other pillars? Well, it's being able to move regularly and move well. And that's the big thing that we try and facilitate. It's looking at what you're putting into your body and what are your habits around that. And then, third, I suppose, foremost, I wouldn't, you know, typically we don't say sleep, but we say your nervous system and what that's doing.
Yeah.
And sleep is obviously the biggest influencer on that.
Yeah.
Because that will determine your attitude to food. That will determine your attitude and interaction with training and your daily habits that, you know, most people are trying to really do the right thing. Everyone has a great intention, but it's like, why is it so hard? And that's where we go, nervous system. What's your nervous system doing? Well, first thing, what's your sleep like? And that's a very quick answer to go, yeah, well, there's part one to fix that.
Yeah. For your clients, what are some things that you would recommend to them? So I know it's so personalized, but for somebody to live a healthy, balanced weekly lifestyle, what does that look like with the three pillars, you know, with sleep, fitness, and diet?
So I suppose I'll break it up into each one. So fitness-wise, and what we sort of specialize in is we sort of look at it and go, most of the time now, what everyone's been sold is they just want to go harder and faster and more intense. And it's, you know, I think it's just come off the back of the trends and where the industry's gone, coming from the bodybuilding Jane Fonda world into the CrossFit world and moving forward into that sort of circuit high-intensity interval stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of evidence that's come out about its effectiveness at burning energy, and we sort of, you know, principally, that's what it comes down to, calories in, calories out. But as you know, it's a little bit more complicated than that in terms of managing that energy absorption, energy burning, and everything in between. So we sort of go, all right, most of the time it needs to be less because it's just about moving in a number of different ways. One, really building a strong body, not a strong in that, look at my biceps type of strong,
yeah.
More a body that can handle the variability that life throws. You know, you stumble down the last step, there's a difference between falling and shattering your wrist and falling and getting a graze on your hand with a bit of a bruise that's better in 2 weeks. And a strong body, no matter what age, is able to have the latter happen. So that's the thing that we try and teach people, is how to move well and get strong. And then we bring in those intensity elements and the variabilities with that of conditioning, high intensity, all that sort of stuff, which, you know, is effective and generates results. But you know, you only need to do that twice a week, three times max to get the desired results, and then manage onto the second pillar being what you're putting into your body. And so, you know, around that, we sort of try and wash our hands saying, you know, it's not our place to give too much dietary advice. It's more just a matter of looking at your lifestyle and looking at what works for you. And we consult pretty closely with dietitians and nutritionists and then run workshops and that sort of thing, just to give education around what's good and what's bad, which I think, you know, a lot of what is out there is going to have an effect regardless of what diet type or what habit or whatever you're looking at. If you're making an effort, you're probably, you know, going to see some sort of result.
Yeah.
But where that result goes missing from a training end, so not getting stronger, not getting fitter, from a dietary end, not losing weight, etc., it comes to that third pillar of the nervous system, and that's where sleep comes into that so importantly. So the biggest one that we see as literally the biggest issue that influences all of these I suppose pillars is looking at the nervous state. So looking at the sympathetic versus the parasympathetic nervous state, and what does the body do in those nervous states? So I'm sure you guys would have talked about it, but it's that fight or flight mode, you know, a stressful day in the office, whatever it might be, driving, rushing around, we're always in a hurry and we don't really take that moment to let ourselves wind down. And so when we go home and it's a glass of wine or whatever it might be to wind down, it's kind of like, no, you're just using chemicals to influence the nervous state to feel like you're winding down and relaxing, but actually genuinely calming down, it takes work, it takes time, you know. So high intensity exercise is stressful, and it does induce a little come down at the end of it, but you know, people are doing it far too often in their day. And if you have a busy day at work, that is stressful in itself. To then go to an even more stressful state after work, or to get yourself into one before work, it's going to influence that stress. And then, you know, your heart and your blood and everything else is going all the time. So when you lie down to go to bed, it's sort of going, I'm not ready. Like the nervous system's going, I'm running away from the bear still. So this heart rate's up and this nervous system's wired. We can keep going. And that sort of is what leads to those chronic, what we see as chronic injuries, just those constant niggles, those overuse injuries, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where the nervous system's so heightened all the time, it affects sleep quality. As soon as you guys would know, as soon as that sleep quality is affected, everything else just starts to fall to pieces.
Well, and there's so many people out there that say, oh no, I get good sleep, or I sleep for 7 hours, but they're unaware of the quality that you're talking about and whether they're actually cycling through the stages and getting the REM, the non-REM, the deep sleep. And the deep sleep is what we really need to go into this recovery mode for all of our organs to be replenished, our brain function to work properly, and for our heart rate to be dropping.
Exactly, exactly. And I think you guys have noted, it is one of the biggest issues going. And we see people that even walk into the gym at 5 a.m. and we sort of want to say, turn around and get out.
Yeah.
You are knackered. We can just see it written all over your eyes and your body.
And would you say in that instance, you know, something that I've learned over the years is that, you know, you spoke about this earlier, is really tuning into your body and listening to your body. And the days that you wake up and don't feel good, you really feel off, that it is better just to turn the alarm off and rest. And even if you can't go back to sleep, just rest so that your body can recover and then go and do exercise the next day when it's feeling a bit more motivated.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. And that's a big thing for us. You know, we try and say to people, the message that tends to be out there, particularly of late in the last sort of 10 years, is more is more, do more, do more, push, push, push. And we're trying to say, no, less is more.
Yeah.
Stop. Let yourself recover. You're going to get way more out of 3 really highly effective sessions with good recovery between them than 5 sessions. And so you're better off taking 2 days, 3 days in a week just to actually stop and do less.
Yeah. And are you somebody, Kieran, that gets good sleep?
Oh, I knew this question was coming.
I have to ask.
I pride myself in just about everything that I do to, you know, say I'll practice what I preach, but sleep is the hardest one for me.
Yeah. For most people.
The nature of the work. Well, exactly. Yeah. You know, the nature of what we do, it's, you know, it's a 5 a.m. kickoff and we'll wrap up any time between 7:30 and 8:30 at night. So they're long days. And the peak hours for us are that early morning and then into the evening. So we are quite jacked when we get home at 8:30 at night, even though it's been a massive day. But yeah, for me, I've actually really looked at that this year, and you know, coronavirus was great because it gave us an opportunity to stop and go, okay, I don't actually have to be at work all day.
Yeah.
In fact, how do I feel? Wow, I actually slept.
Yeah.
I felt myself sleep better and sleep longer and start a little bit later and finish earlier. So that was actually really nice. And yeah, for me now it's being as effective as possible with my time, particularly when I am at home. So it's so easy to get home and to switch off. You know, you start scrolling on your phone, or you're checking another email, and it's like, well, it's 9 o'clock at night. You know, you got to be up at 4:30. So it's trying to get into those habits of that's it, phone away, put that down. And then for me, I actually need to take time to deliberately wind myself down, and then so I just sort of start to apply techniques around that and to really dive into my nervous system, take it on, wind down. And yeah, for the past few weeks I've actually been really great. So I'll try and, you know, wind my system down, get to bed early, and I'm waking up and I felt like I've slept very heavily.
Yeah.
And it takes a little bit to get going, but through the day I'm feeling a hell of a lot better. So I said it about on a bad night, it's around that 7 hours, just on 7 hours of sleep. On a good night, it's that 7.5, 8, where I'm in bed early and ready to rip in the next day.
Yeah. So is there one thing that you could leave the listeners with, around one or two things that you, you know, if they're not currently enjoying their fitness routine or they don't have one, what do you think is, where is a good place to start?
As you said, it's so subjective. But for those that are, you know, if you're not enjoying it, you won't do it. And that's the rule. So first and foremost, it's finding something that you enjoy, be it yoga, be it Pilates, be it running, be it lifting weights, or a mixture of all of the above. Whatever it is, you've got to enjoy it and look forward to going. So one of the biggest things we've found is the biggest benefit for our members is the social pressure, in a way that this is their social life now. They turn up and they see all their mates and they've become friends with everyone at the gym.
Yeah.
And as much as we might appear like a cult, we try and say we're a community. But, you know, and that's why these places get these types of followings, is because people go, hey, this is my place and this is where I belong. So, you know, from a mental health perspective and a social health perspective, turning to exercise rather than food or alcohol, which we tend to do so frequently, is a really great option. And yeah, it's a nice way to, you know, bring yourself into meeting new people and starting to build routines and habits that are much healthier. And if it's 2 mornings a week or 1 morning a week that you turn up at the same time with the same people, you're gonna end up chatting to them. You're gonna end up having a coffee with them after, or whatever it might be. And a couple of years down the track, these are your friends. And so I think that's the biggest thing. And if you're really, you know, quite intimidated to do that sort of stuff on your own, latch on with a friend and go in with somebody that you can hold each other accountable, and you start to look forward to going and enjoying the endorphins after, and, you know, whatever it might be, a juice or a coffee after with your mate. It's a really great way to start to build good habits.
Yeah.
Because it's built on, you know, good behaviors and that social element as well.
Great advice. So where can we, is what's coming up for the Science of Fitness? Is there anything coming up that you'd like to share, or where can we find you?
Yeah, what have we got? So into the back end of this year, and not this Saturday, next Saturday, we've got a running mechanics workshop. So that's just teaching people all things about running and the mechanics with it, and how to not hurt yourself but still enjoy the activity of running. From there, we've then going into the early parts of next year, we're going to set up a 4-6 week workshop on really going after your nervous system. So
perfect.
Breathing drills, all that sort of stuff, and how to down regulate most, or first and foremost. So going to be sort of a couple of stages with that, where we do education on the neuroscience, and that's digestible for everybody, no matter who you are. And then the second part of that is actually practicing and getting some tools to help yourself wind down regulate, to then allow for better sleep, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, that'll be sort of early stages, January next year. So looking forward to that one. And then, yeah, we can be found Facebook, Instagram, Science of Fitness, just sort of search us. It's our biggest channels, LinkedIn, we're on there as well. And yeah, we throw a whole bunch of stuff up for them. All things moving, training and exercise.
I'm sure that you'll have the nervous system workshops up on those channels so people can find out some more there, which, you know, I think that that's such a great place for a lot of people to start. You know, they are struggling in any of those three pillars that we've talked about. That's a great entry level in.
Yeah, absolutely. It sort of dives at the chief governor and says, okay, this is the decision maker and this is what's making me make bad decisions. How do I use it to help me make better decisions from a habitual lifestyle type of thing?
Yeah. I love it. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kieran. You know, you guys are doing such a great job, and we will have some information about the Science of Fitness in the show notes. And when you've got the workshops ready, please feel free to share them so that we can send them on to our audience as well.
Awesome. Will do. Excellent. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Good Night Show. If you're keen to learn more about our guests or any of the topics we've spoken about today, hop on over to the Good Night Co. closed Facebook community group, or check us out at thegoodnightco.com.au. And if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast provider by searching The Good Night Show. And if you love what you're hearing, don't forget to leave us a glowing review. Thanks, everyone.